So please turn with me to Matthew 5, 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. So earlier this week on Monday, I was taking my family to the mall, and something very unexpected happened. While driving on George Bush, going about 70 miles, my car decides to stop. So we're driving. I feel it start to shake, and I'm like, all right, this is not good. So I'm slowly trying to drift over as trucks are blazing by. And of course, we pull over to the side, and I would like to say that we handled it as best as we could. But looking back now, man, I was in my flesh. I was mad. I was arguing. My kids were crying. I mean, it was not the best day. But later that week, I know that God spoke to me because he was like, okay, that happened on Monday, but you're still worried about it on Wednesday. So how can you still hunger and pressing to me when you still have this thing still bugging you, right? So God was trying to deal with me and show me that if you truly want to hunger after me, you have to be able to let things go. And of course, it just happened to be that you know, that happened on the week I was scheduled to preach. And I'm like, all right, Lord, like, I'm trying to seek your face. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to even fast. But I'm like, I am doing all of these things in the flesh. I'm struggling because this one little thing that should be done the very day it happened has lingered. And I'm like, how can I press into you when my heart is just elsewhere? So Matthew 5, 6 says this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So if I surveyed this church, right, most of you guys would not list hunger as a blessing, right? But Jesus here is saying that blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And, you know, if you check YouTube and you type in sermons about blessings, it will be about what? Cars, things that you can get, money, you know, all those things that aren't bad. But if you really dig deep down, those aren't truly the blessings that God has for us, right? So my question for you guys today is, why don't we hear about hunger? If Jesus is clear here that hunger is a blessing, why don't we hear more about it? Because if Jesus, who knows all, has called hunger a blessing, there must be a reason why he said so, right? So today I want to look at what I think is the biggest need for the church, which is the hunger for Jesus, or the need for hunger. So we live in a time and age where we know the Bible more than any other people that have ever lived, right? We have gifted speakers and, you know, a nice church and a nice stage and all the things that should make for a solid faith. But I do know that we lack hunger in the modern church. So what is hunger? When you dive into the Greek word that is used for hunger in Matthew 5, 6, that word is penao. And that just means a deep desire or need. So a better way to say it is this. Hunger is a deep spiritual desire or need for God. Because look, God can do anything, right? But God is not like us. God doesn't force his way, right? So the way God has shown this to me is that hunger is a invitation. Hunger is saying, Lord, I'm ready. Fill me, right? Because God is not going to press himself on you. He's not going to force you to, birth something that you don't want, right? And so hunger, in a sense, is like the womb that God has given man and woman. And if you're not hungry for what he has for you, once again, he will not force himself on you. So today, I want to look at what hunger looks like, what it looks like when a man who has everything gifted, he has the gift of prophecy, He looks good. He's called. He has all the check boxes, but he's missing one thing, hunger. And I want to look at what that looks like, and then we're going to kind of talk through how to look for the signs of hunger in our own lives. So turn with me to 1 Samuel verse 13. So while we go there, I'll give you guys a quick backdrop on 1 Samuel verse 13. So in 1 Samuel verse 13, King Saul is getting ready to go to war once again. And King Saul, as told by prophet Samuel, right? When King Saul was first crowned, Samuel says to Saul, "Hey, God will always be with you. But before you go fight any war, wait 7 days. I'm going to come to you. I'll make the sacrifice for you. Then you go fight." So King Saul got specific word from the Lord. Wait 7 days until I come to you. That's in 1 Samuel 10. Wait 7 days until I come to you. Then we will sacrifice. Then we'll go fight and you will have the victory. So King Saul got the word, got the victory. All he had to do was just what? Wait. Okay. But of course, King Saul is like you and I, right? King Saul has a great promise, as we do. Because the scripture says, right, in the last days, I will pour out what? My spirit on all flesh. So God has also promised us that same thing like King Saul. Hey, you have the victory. I'm going to give you this very thing. Just wait on me, right? Just be ready. Don't do anything. Don't move in your own flesh. Don't think your own thoughts even. Just wait for me, right? But of course, Saul does what we all do. So in 1 Samuel 13, verse 11, this is right after Saul had waited 7 days. He looked around and saw that Samuel was not there. So day eight, what does Saul do? Saul, of course, sacrifices to God, thinking that his works, his knowledge can actually move the hand of God. And right on cue, Samuel comes, and in verse 11, it says this. And Samuel says, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." So Saul, King Saul, right, on the day that God seemed late, on the day that it seemed like God ran out of time, even though he holds the moon, stars, Venus, Jupiter in his hands, it seemed like God ran, you know, smooth out of time. On that day, Saul said, "Okay, the people are leaving me, right? Samuel is not here. My enemies are gathering." Saul was looking at everything but the promise of God. Saul was looking at the people, his pastor, his enemies. But the very word of God that he should have actually stood on, he took his eyes off it. And what did he do? He moved in the flesh. So this is not, of course, just a story of Saul, right? This is a story of you and I, right? This is how sometimes we are. We have a great promise in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, in the promises that God has given us. But sometimes it seems like time is running out. So we do what we do best. We get creative. We say, "You know what, God? I know you promised me that I would never lack, but I need this job. So let me call my cousin, who knows this other cousin, and let them help me out and get this job, even though God has not told you to move." And we often do things like that, where we move in the flesh, thinking that we can help God, because, you know, God can do all things, but he doesn't force himself. We can do nothing, but we force ourselves. And it's very interesting how that works. So while prepping for this sermon, you know, I was just talking to the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, okay, just help me make it practical. Help me make things plain. Because, you know, have you ever been to church and the pastor says, be holy, and you're like, how? Like, what's the first step? You know, like, sometimes these concepts can seem so big and grand. Like, okay, hey, do this thing. But you're like, okay, pastor, I get that. You've been saved 40 years. I've been saved 2 days. How do I go from point A to point B, right? So, you know, while praying about this, this scripture came to mind. And I rejoice because it just, I mean, line upon line. So Psalms 27, verse 4. Psalms 27, verse 4. We're going to see, of course, the second king of Israel and the man that you guys know, King David. So in Psalms 27, verse 4, we have what I would call David's desire or David's hunger. And this is where we see why God actually loved David. Like, we see that though he has so many flaws like you and I do, God said, this is a man after my own heart, right? So Psalms 27 verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David, flawed as he was, and yes, he was flawed, right? But David knew one thing, my focus, my heart, my hunger, my deep desire must be for the Lord. So in this scripture here, I believe that we have three checkpoints where you and I can actually check and see if our hunger, if our heart is truly for the Lord. The first one is this, and David said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So my question to you guys is, do you actually want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? It's a simple question, but our desire to dwell in the house of the Lord is a reflection of our hunger for God. So why are you here this morning? Are you here because it's Sunday? Or are you here because you know that this is a deep desire that only he can satisfy, so you have to be here? Right? See, David knew that though I'm the king of Israel and I can have anything that I want, there is only one place that can satisfy what I need. And, you know, just thinking back about my life, so prior to COVID, I worked in Irvine. So I would drive from Rowlett to Irvine every morning. And, you know, I think around 2018, I felt that the Lord was trying to say, okay, Ike, like, you need to, like, press into me more, right? So every morning on the way to work, I would stop at a church downtown that had a prayer set from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. And I would go there and just pray. And that's where I learned that, oh, like, I actually can pray for 30 minutes, for 1 hour, for 2 hours, right? But once again, I had a hunger that led me to a location. See, if someone has to drag you to come to church, you might not have that hunger. If when the doors of the church come open and you kind of have to think, do I want to go to the gym or go to church? You might not have that hunger that we just sang about this morning, set a fire in my soul, right? So once again, the location that you choose to dwell will always reveal the hunger. Because if you want to get in better shape, you dwell in the gym. If you want to learn how to play ball, you go to the court and play ball, right? So where you spend your time, where you actually want to be, will always reveal the hunger that you have. Now, David says this, to behold the beauty of the Lord. So David knew something that wasn't really explained until Paul says, like, as we behold Christ, we become more like him. So as we see him, we become more like him. And you know, that's the beauty of the Old Testament, is that Christ is hidden all through there. Like, you just have to have the eyes of the Spirit to see it. And so David says, right, to behold the beauty of the Lord. So my next checkpoint is this. What we behold, what we watch can impact our hunger. And I have learned this because I have 3 kids, and my youngest are 2 twins who just turned 1. And nobody taught them how to watch me and their mom eat. They just knew that, okay, every day at these times, these men and women that watch us always do this thing. They're always doing this, right? So they watch us. And it's gotten to the point where they now don't want their milk. They want what we have, right? So what you are watching can impact the hunger that you have. And as Paul said, right, hey, be imitators of me. Watch me, right? Learn Christ from me, right? So once again, what we are watching will impact the hunger that we claim that we have. And I've seen this through my life as well, because when COVID hit in 2020, of course, you know, offices shut down, and I no longer could go to this, church, right, to go pray. But I've been going so much that, like, okay, like, I have to find something to do, right? And it was at that point where I had to say, all right, I've kind of learned how to pray with people. I have to learn how to pray by myself, right? So I started to watch preachers on YouTube that actually had a prayer life. Now, that's my rule. If the preacher's prayer life doesn't scare me, I don't watch them, right? So watch what you want to watch, but if that man of God does not pray, I would say don't watch him, right? But as I watched and I learned, that hunger began to grow in me. Like, I learned how to pray for myself, for my wife, for my kids, for the things that were practical, everyday things. And, you know, it can be overwhelming as you grow in the place of prayer, because you can hear your neighbor who has been saved 40 years, and they're praying in such a way that you're like, okay, their tongues sound like real tongues. Mine just sound like shabba ba ba ba, right? And you're like, okay, like, I'm kind of intimidated by them. But once again, having kids will teach you so many things. Baby food comes in what? Level 1, 2, and 3, right? 1 is just 1 ingredient. 2, you can, you know, mix 2 things, right? 3, it's more of like a real meal. So that's the same thing with hunger. Hunger grows. Like, don't just think that you're just going to wake up one day and pray for 3 hours. Doesn't happen. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, grow, stretch, right? And as you do it, as you say, God, I am hungry, he will fill you. And then your cup, your womb gets wider. All right, God, I still want more, bigger. I still want more, feel it, bigger, right? So it is step by step by step by step. And the last thing that David said was, and to inquire in his temple. So David knew that his hunger for the Lord will be revealed by what he said, what he says, how he prays. Right? Because let's be real, we can tell a lot about who we are and how much we love and know God by how we pray. Because if all we pray about is, Lord, give me, give me, give me, then we don't really know him. Because even Jesus, right, he said, my will, my meat is to do the will of the Father, right? So how we pray, what we say, will often reveal how much hunger we have for the things of God. So, October 6th, 2022, that is the day that we started Men's Fellowship at this church, right? So, the Lord have been dealing with me like, okay, Ike, like you need to start something, start doing something. Like all these men are here, like, hey, like get together, pray, do something, right? So of course, I waited about 3-4 months, did nothing. And then finally, October came, we began. And I remember when we first started, I prayed to the Lord, and my prayer was simple, and that was, God, if you're calling me to help men, if you're calling me to lead something that men are here, truly save me from this thing that has been plaguing me all my life. And I'm going to share with you guys what that thing is, right? So, of course, I'm going to, you know, there are kids here, but at age 13 was when I first saw a image that, you know, was wrong, right? So I see this image, and from 13 till about 30, I have wrestled with this thing because I'm like, okay, God, I love you, but I seem to be addicted to this thing. I seem to be addicted to watching things like this. Like, why am I struggling here, right? And it wasn't until we started this men group that I realized what the issue was. So let me explain. If you've ever dealt with addiction of any kind, right, you know that sometimes it's seasonal, right? You can get set free for about 4 months, and then one day something just come and just smack you in the face, and you're like, oh man, I'm back in this again. Oh Lord, right? So the Lord showed me that that is like what we see in Luke 11, verse 24. So no need to turn there, but I'll just kind of talk through that, right? That talks about when the unclean spirit leaves a person, right? So that person is delivered, but there's nothing to replace what left, right? So you can be praying, God, save me from this addiction. I'm tired of watching all these images of women on the web. Help me, help me, help me. And he moves it out the way. But now there's nothing on the throne of your heart. So, of course, what happens? 4 months later, that thing comes back because why? You try to manage it with self-will, with your own strength, with your own pride, trying not to watch stuff, trying not to, I mean, just doing, look guys, I paid money to have things blocked on my phone. Like that's how bad, you know, like stuff was, right? Doing all these things in self-will, and God is like, no, just ask me for one thing. Ask me for my righteousness. Don't ask me to save you from this thing. Ask me for a greater hunger. See, something I've learned is this, man. Everything is hunger, right? So if you're struggling with A, B, C, D, ask for a greater hunger so that hunger can swallow that thing up. Because discipline and self-work and, I mean, all those things, it will fail at some point. Trust me, like you will fall back to that thing. So whatever your thing is, right, you know, it doesn't have to be what mine was. But that's one thing I've seen is that truly, what you pray and how you pray will reveal your hunger. And if you're struggling with something, just know that it's simply a hunger. It is a desire because that is how strongholds come. It starts with a small desire and then you build thoughts around it and then patterns around it and then lifestyle around it. And then you start saying, oh, I was born this way. So once again, right, that's how things kind of grow. So if you're struggling with something, whatever your thing is, lust, pride, doesn't really matter. You don't need more self-help. You need a greater hunger. You have to ask and say, Lord, help me truly hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Because that's the only thing that can swallow this thing that wants to swallow me, right? And it's really that simple. So David once again made it very clear that this one thing have I desired of the Lord, and this will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Because he knew, and I'm sure because of David's life, he knew that his willpower was not enough. And, you know, it's easy to think that your willpower can do something, because sometimes we really don't have anything. But when you're a king and you can have everything and everybody, then you really know if you really are trusting on the Lord or leaning on your own strength. And David knew that, look, I can have any woman in this kingdom. So I need something greater than my willpower. I need to see him and become like him. And I need to figure out what is on his mind and inquire of him. So back to King Saul. While thinking through just my life, I've seen that hunger has shaped every stage of my life. Like everything God has promised me, it wasn't just I promised you and bam, here it is. No, it's no, I'm going to promise you, and then I'm going to stretch you, and then I'm going to grow you, and then I'm going to actually make you have capacity to carry what I'm going to give you. Because we sing these songs about a great revival is coming and God is going to pour out his spirit on all folks. But have you really studied what revivals look like? Businesses shut down. Like people were in churches for months, not going to work, not doing nothing, just stuck in the glory and presence of God. And here we are saying, God, we need your revival. We need your revival. And God is like, you don't have hunger to carry it. Like, sure, I can give it to you, but you waste it. Because why? You still want to go home and watch football, and you still want to go home and go to the gym and do all these things, which aren't bad, but you don't have a spiritual womb to birth what I want to give you, right? So we often pray for things, and they're good things, not bad, but God is like, Ike, do you have the hunger to birth it? So once again, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching actually at myself. And I wish I had a mirror here to be like, no, like, this is for me. Because God was trying to tell me this all week. Like, you are telling me that you want more of God and you want to see more people in church saved and do all these things. But one little thing happened to you on Monday and Wednesday, you're still not even right. You are all messed up. You know, and I want to give you my presence, but you are still tripping over something that happened 48 hours ago. Like, move on, right? So today, the message is very, very simple. Very, 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 very simple. And I'll close with this. If God is truly what we desire and hunger for, we will wait on him. We will not get creative. We will not call family and friends to bail us out when God said wait. We will pray. We will fast. We will give. We will do all those things that we know to do, knowing that his word is faithful. His word is true. His word is righteous. His word will come to pass if we just let him do what he does best, which is be God. So it's funny. I always laugh because there's a brother in this church that he always writes down stuff that I say that he likes. And he the first thing that he wrote and showed me is something that I always say when I pray is, God, thank you that you're God and we're not. You know, and it's such a simple thing, but God, truly, he is God. His word will not fail. Ours does. We try our best, but trust me, we will fail. So today, the message is really, really simple. God has promised us a great revival. He's promised this church great things. He's promised these pastors that lead us great things. But my question to you is, do we have the hunger to birth this thing? Do we have the hunger to carry it? Do we truly desire these things? Or are we just satisfied with, I came to church on Sunday, I'm not a bad person, so I'm going to heaven, so I'm good. Amen. So please just stand with me. Let's just take about 2-3 minutes and just pray. You know where you are at. You don't need me to tell you. For some of us, we need a greater hunger for the house of the Lord. We don't like to be here, just being real. We would rather be doing so many other things than being here. For some of us, we need a greater hunger in the things that we watch. We might watch things that don't please him. And for some of us, we simply need to ask for his righteousness. Not, Lord, save me from this sin. No, give me your righteousness. Because then that righteousness swallows up anything that I'm going through. So, Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your son. We thank you because you said you have not because you ask not, Lord. So today we are asking for a greater hunger, Father. Father, we are asking for a greater hunger, Lord. Oh, Father, help us. Help us, Father. Help us. We are just people, Lord. Because your word says, Lord Jesus, that unless you build the city, we labor in vain. And unless you watch the city, we watch in vain. So, Father, we know that hunger is not self-righteousness, but it's saying, Lord, we need you. We are needy for you. We are hungry for you. And as we stay in that posture, you begin to fill us. You begin to grow us. You begin to make us more like you. So whatever your thing is this morning, whatever you might be struggling with, ask him for his righteousness. Ask him for his hunger, knowing that he can and will do it. Thank you.
Giving us a heart to want to serve you, Lord, a heart to want to know you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with a hunger for your righteousness, Lord. Prepare our hearts so as for we can receive it, Lord. Allow us to take everything else off our mind during the week, Lord, and just focus on you, Lord. Help us to just focus on you. When we're feeling sad, when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling anxious about what's going to happen in our lives, Lord, help us to just put our attention off of those things and just focus on you, Lord, because we know that you have the answers. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we thank you so much for being out with us this morning. We hope that you were blessed by the message that was received, and God has given us a hunger to search after him. So allow him to fill you. Allow him to get those things that you're dealing with off of your mind and focus on him. Amen. So if you haven't had a chance to give, please do know that we do need your help. And if you're able to, please give. We do have food baskets available. So if you know anybody that's in need of a food basket, you can see Sister Boyd. Also, we have the Book of 2 Corinthians Bible class that starts on Wednesday. So if you're able to, please come out for that at 7 p.m. All right. Well, we do again thank you so much for being here, and you are dismissed.